Hey parents, this is a little ears warning. Jesus is the most radical redeemer and restorer, but this podcast may contain some topics which are not appropriate for little ears. So if there are little ears around, you might want to pop in some headphones or hit the pause button right now and pick it up at another time. Jesus be glorified through these testimonies. Welcome everybody to Win Our World podcast series. And over the next 4 weeks as a global church, we're going to be looking at what it is to move from the manifest presence of God into the miraculous and win our world for Jesus. And we're going to have a variety of people join us as guests on this podcast from our church community. We're going to hear about how they met Jesus, and then we're going to hear about how they, in their very real, normal, ordinary, and often very full lives, are winning their world for Jesus. Guys, it is our prayer that you and me would be encouraged, a little bit provoked, and equipped to share Jesus and to win our world for Him. All right, guys, let's jump right in. So today we have two lovely ladies in the podcast studio with me, and I'm excited. You guys are part of our young adults community, and if personally I'm passionate about one generation, it is definitely this generation. So we have Claire and Willow. Welcome.
Hello.
Okay. I'm so excited about this podcast. Ever since I heard a little bit of your stories, from friends of mine, whether from Kristen or from Kelsey, I am just excited to hear it from you guys because, you guys both have powerful testimonies about Jesus. But maybe before we jump right into that, we can tell the people a little bit about who you are, how old you are, and what you're doing with your lives on a Monday to Friday. Go.
Well, I'm Willow.
Yeah.
I'm 20 and I work full-time in a factory warehouse at the moment, yeah, doing like sampling orders for a flooring company.
Amazing.
But as of next week, I'm quitting that job and I'm going to study early childcare to become a primary school teacher.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah. We need so many spirit-filled people in our education system.
Yeah, I agree. That's the goal. I want to be in like mainstream schooling and just do as much as I can to bring Jesus into that.
Oh, yes and amen. Yes and amen. Our comms director, Jared, who is recording this podcast right now, his wife is also in education, just with like small kids, although now she's doing a lot more. And she has some wild testimonies about how she has ushered the presence of God into that space. So yes and amen. Yes, very and good. Amen. That's next week. So exciting.
Yeah, I know.
Awesome. Okay, Claire, how old are you?
I'm Claire. I'm 20. I do mechanic apprenticeship.
Come on. Yeah, the girls.
Yeah.
Come on. How long have you been doing that for?
I think 7 months, 7-8 months amazing now. So pretty new still.
Oh, come on. But, yeah. That's so good. Yeah. You would know more than I know for sure.
Yeah, maybe. I still don't know much. Like, people always ask me, oh, can you have a look at my car? I'm like, yeah, I don't really know what's going on.
Oh, you will see.
Yeah, soon.
And how long ago did you meet Jesus?
Pretty much a year ago. I think it was June or July last year. It was the Sunday after last year's conference. It was my first time at church.
Oh,
so pretty much exactly a year.
Wow. And what about you, Willow?
Probably about 9 months ago.
Okay.
Roughly, yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah,
I love this so much. Okay. So let's hear a little bit about, maybe I'll start with you, Claire. Like, you kind of alluded that you came here to this church, is that right?
Yeah.
And so how did you meet Jesus? You can start that story wherever you like, because often, like, if you look back, you're like, realize long before. Yeah, is that the case?
Awesome.
11 years ago.
Wow. Okay, start wherever you want to start.
Well, I think it was like around starting high school, like year 7 or whatever. Like, I wasn't very happy with like my physical appearance, and like around that time's when like your fellow classmates start dating.
Yes.
And I was never like I felt like no one had interest in me.
Yeah.
So then I based my validation very much in that, which looking back is so sad. Those poor little children who don't know Jesus.
Very common though, like we don't know what we don't know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
So sad looking back. Here's Willow to show them that they're worth more. But I had a friend around that time as well he didn't know Jesus at the time, and then he dropped out. So being young, like, we kind of lost touch.
Yeah.
Every so often he would message me. During this time, sorry, he came to know Jesus himself.
Yeah, wow.
And every so often he would message me, like, asking my thoughts on Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. And religion had always interested me. Like, I'd always very much wanted to explore all of them because I always knew there was something going on, but I never knew what.
Wow.
But I had no opinion on Jesus. I didn't know him, and I didn't know enough to, like, venture and look at that myself. I was kind of happy with my new agey bits and pieces that I picked up.
Yes.
And then fast forward, I think maybe 19, I think it was at the start of last year, I was, like, found myself craving that validation from people, and I found myself in a relationship with a married couple, like, not like one of those open like non-monogamous relationships, and they also were in, like, the adult industry. So my little 19-year-old brain, like, not knowing Jesus, was like, drugs, sex, money, all of this. I was like, whoa, like, it's so cool. That's what I thought at the time. And then around this time as well, that same friend who would message me and ask me my opinion on Jesus was inviting me to church.
Wow.
And, like, the thing is, he was, like, the enemy coming in. Four times I had to cancel coming last minute because I was still, like, affected or, like, hungover from the night before, because, like, Saturday is, like, the party night in the world when Sunday is
for sure recovery day,
but Sunday is community worship. So four times I had to cancel coming to church, and then the fifth time when I finally came, I, to be honest, was not sober. Like, I was still a little bit affected, but
oh my
gosh,
I know so many testimonies of so many friends of mine that have come, like, high or drunk or something. And I'm always just like, come, come. The presence of the Lord is the same. Yeah. Like, you will, he will sober you up. Like, you, it'll be fine. Like, you just come, come the same. So if you have a friend, just encourage him to, like, come the same.
My mum's not a Christian. She thought that I just liked it because I was like, ooh, pretty lights, when I was, like, still a bit on it.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Like, it was just like that love of Jesus that I felt. You walk in the room and it's just like the love. Like, it was the first time I felt love without needing to, like, prove it or, like, give something to receive the love. So I just kept coming, and it's been a slow journey of giving areas of my life to Jesus. But
So did you have a moment where you were like, oh, wow, like, this Jesus thing is real?
I think it was slow. Like, when I, like, you know, when they give, like, the repentance prayer and they say, put your hand up. I had no idea what that was. I just felt like I had to put my hand up or else I was going to really regret it later. So, at, like, very last minute, I was in the back and I was just like, put my hand up. And to me at that point, that was just vowing to continue to learn more about it.
So good.
And then it eventually rolled into, like, I was on the stage, get it, like, and they're doing that thing before we get baptized. They're like, do you believe Jesus is, like, your Lord and Savior? Do you believe he was resurrected? And I was like, yeah, I do. I think that was the first time I really thought about it. I was like, yeah, I do. Like, on the day I was getting baptized.
So good.
Yeah.
I love the journey, and I love that Jesus loves the journey.
Yeah.
Like, he loves that we're like, okay, I'm interested and I'm curious and I want to know more. I think all of it's a journey. I definitely know, like, when I first, so I had two moments in my life in my testimony. One where I really said yes to Jesus as, like, Savior. Like, I don't really want to go to hell. I do want to go to heaven, and I'll say yes to you as Savior, but Lord of my life is maybe a second moment. Like, I still want to have control. Like, so when I even said, like, when I said yes to him as Savior, I was only a teenager, a young teenager. And I don't remember anything that was preached. I don't even remember anything that was said during the altar call. I just remember, like, kind of like what you're saying, like, my heart pounding out of my chest and being like, I need to respond to this, to this, whatever this question is, which I can't even remember what the question was that they asked. I just remember like having to make some kind of response. Yeah. So I love that you say that, because I think sometimes even like when we're sharing Jesus with people, we worry like, are we going to say the right thing? Are we going to, you know, do we have the right words? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, we can't even really remember like the words. Yeah. It's just like the Holy Spirit is doing a work.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you got baptized in Easter?
No, that was Willow.
Oh, that was Willow.
I got baptized. The young adults retreat was the weekend. Oh, I decided that I was ready. So I thought for so long, I was like, I can't get baptized. Like, I'm going to get baptized when I feel like I'm ready. Like, when I feel like I'm good enough.
Wow.
And one of my friends was like, you can't do that. Like, you're never going to be ready. Like, you just got to, like, dive in. And so I think, like, Pastor Kelsey or Pastor Thomas was like, speaking on like the stage that we had at the retreat, and I was just kind of like, okay, like I think it's my time, like it's gonna push me to like step into how I'm so created good, to be.
Come on.
Yeah,
Claire, that's awesome. Isn't Jesus wild?
Yeah,
he's the best. Okay, let's jump to Willow. Can you share a little bit about how you met Jesus? Because you guys are friends. Like, you guys are like good friends, right?
There's crossovers.
We've been friends since 2013.
Grade four.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we did the math earlier. Yeah.
Come on. Okay, so tell a little bit about your story and then how your stories cross, maybe.
Well, growing up, my dad was in prison. I used to spend a lot of time at home alone, I think, because my mum, single mum, like she was working really hard to support me. But
holler out to all the single mums.
Yeah.
A lot of friends that are amazing single mums.
Yeah, they are. It's just the only downside is I was home alone a lot and I was left to like my own guidance, listening to my own brain or falling under the influence of people that aren't right for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I was probably about in high school, I really started falling into the wrong crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And not having my dad around, I think I had a really unhealthy relationship with men.
Mm-hmm.
I was very angry at him
mm-hmm.
and also didn't understand like why he wouldn't be there.
Yes.
And in high school, I was just wagging. I was hanging out with the wrong people, doing drugs, seeking validation in men, mm-hmm. like sex in relationship, mm-hmm. not even in a relationship, you know, mm-hmm. just... Yeah, all of the above. And that led to me getting into a relationship that was what I thought was like saving my life from going down the wrong path.
Right,
like it was
right.
this amazing thing. And then it turned out to probably be one of the worst experiences of my life. He was really controlling, physically abusive, mentally abusive. I cut off all my friends and family, and Claire was one of those people who got caught in that. And I was with him for about 4 years. About 4 years. And yeah, Claire and I weren't friends for that whole time because I just cut everyone off.
Yeah.
I had to detach from like reality, and my reality was pretty much anything that he said.
Yeah.
And it was just, I lived at home with him, and during lockdown, we lived together in his house. So I was in a bubble. My mum called it a snow globe. I was in a snow globe and looking out into the outside world, but I was like stuck in there. Yeah. And he grew up Catholic, and I would have called myself an atheist. Like in primary school, I remember, I think, calling myself an atheist. Mm-hmm. And then as I grew up, I was interested in the universe and there's like this higher power, the you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Isn't
it funny how like both of you guys are saying like that there's something of eternity like etched inside of us that is searching for something more.
Yeah.
It really is. Like the way that God has designed us is to kind of know that there is
to seek him.
Yeah, to seek him. There's a part of us that is seeking him even when we don't know who we're seeking.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You level up because I went from like atheist to know there's something, but I wouldn't call it God, to then like, no, it's God. It's Jesus. Wow. Like, but with my ex, there was a day where he was like, you know, I want you to believe in God. and like, let's research these things.
Wow.
And I was down for it. I'm like, okay, we were looking at Christianity. We were looking at Islam. Like, we were researching religion.
Wow.
And I started to see little signs that like, oh, like that could be God. Like, these things don't make sense. And it was just tiny things. And then the defining moment was actually we were in an argument and it had gone on for hours and it was a physical fight. And like, I was in the bedroom shielding my head and he was hitting me, like just smacking me around in the back of the head. And I ended up on the floor in like a little ball trying to protect myself, and he was kicking me in the ribs. And I was just bawling my eyes out, just absolutely, like, I thought it would never end, truly thought this moment would never end and that was it. And I just said, like, please God, save me right now. And as soon as I said that, after hours of arguing, like, he just stopped. He just stopped kicking me, walked out of the room. I stayed there for a little while longer, and then I got up, and I don't remember exactly what happened after that, but we ended up speaking about it. And I knew, I'm like, God just saved me right now. Wow. That just confirmed in my mind that God is there and he was protecting me.
Wow.
And we spoke about it after, and he said he had like hurt himself in that moment, and that's why he walked off, and he felt like he was getting punished by God. He knew God was there.
Wow.
And after that, it took me a while to leave the relationship, but I really, like, I felt Jesus on my heart. I knew Islam wasn't right. I was like, no, Jesus is the way to go.
Wow.
I was praying for signs on, do I leave this relationship?
Yeah.
And bit by bit, things just worked out. God had his hand on all of it, and I got out of there about 7 months ago now.
Wow. I think sometimes we can often feel like in our life that we need to kind of get cleaned up before we kind of get in front of God, or we feel like we need to, you know, have ourselves like perfectly sorted out before we say yes to get water baptized, or, you know, we have to, you know, be something before God. But it's like, God is already with us. Like, he's already right there in the thick of our lives. I've definitely in my life have moments where it's like the worst of the worst moments, like, of my life. And like, God is so present, like, in those moments. So I think it's just, I feel like the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know whether someone is watching this or listening to this right now, but I feel like with your testimony, Willow, that you have just released, I think, something for someone, at least one, watching, that, you know, you don't have to have your life perfect. You know, God is not waiting for you to be perfect. He wants to encounter you and meet you right where you are. And that's my testimony. And I hear that for you. And I hear that for you, Claire. Like, he is just so hungry to be with his kids. Like, he wants to be in your life more than we even want him, you know, in our lives.
Mm.
So powerful.
Yeah. He turns, like, the way I explain that story, like, it sounds so terrible, but I want the details in there because it shows how good God is.
Yes.
Because it was a moment where I'm like, this is never going to end. I'm always going to be in this situation. But it shows how good God is, that he can use any situation, turn it into, like, glorifying him, and he can get you out of there. And then now I'm, like, in church every week, got the most amazing friends around me that I'm just so blessed to have. I can't even,
words can't describe. Word for someone there. I really feel like the Lord speaking to somebody through what you've just shared, that they feel like completely isolated. I feel like they feel like, this is, I don't even know how to get myself out of here. And whoever that is, I just want to really encourage you. I've been there, but just a simple prayer, like, it honestly, God, it just opens the door for the Lord to come. And we don't know often in our lives how to find him. We don't know even how to get ourselves out of situations that we've been in, but all you have to do is ask him. Like, one of the names of the Holy Spirit that I love the most is Helper, because, like, he is there to help. Like, God has given us Holy Spirit to help. Wow. So, okay, let's go forward a little bit. So you have this realization of like, yep, like it's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's mm-hmm. not all the things, like it's Jesus.
Yeah.
And so how did you find your way into a church, into this church?
Well, pretty much I never went to church while I was still with him, mm-hmm. even though we both acknowledged God's existence.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do anything too much about it. Eventually I left that, and like the week of me being back at home with my mum, mm-hmm. Claire reached out, and wow. yes, she is the reason I'm at this church.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. So how did you feel to reach out to Willow?
To be honest, it wasn't me, it was Jesus.
Yeah.
Like if I hadn't found Jesus, I would still be mad at Willow to this day.
Wow.
Like it was really, I had just, God said to me, he was like, I've forgiven you, you have to forgive Willow. So I messaged her and I was like, Jesus, forgive me. Like, here I am, I'm forgiving you. So.
Okay, so you get this message from Claire that you haven't spoken to for 4 years.
Yeah.
Talking about Jesus in a moment where you're kind of like, okay, yeah, like I think Jesus is the way, like I think he's the real God. So what happened then?
So I was going to reach out to Claire because
as our parents are friends, so through the grapevine we knew each other had found Jesus individually.
Okay.
So we
that's
knew
why I knew to tell so her, radical. Like, Jesus' okay. forgiveness is here. It's
wow.
not, you know, it's deeper than just me saying that's all right.
But I didn't want to reach out too soon because I had broken up with my ex before and come back and left again.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to earn some trust before I actually reached out. But Claire, having heard that from Jesus, and like she reached out first and messaged me, and it just took so much weight off my shoulders, I think, because I didn't have to go like crawling back almost. It was like she was just ready to not accept me. We had a lot to talk about, but she was ready to like... to see me again. And the first time we saw each other was at Heidi Baker's when she was
the one
here.
She had here.
That was our first interaction.
Yeah, not only was it Willow's first time at Numa, it was the first time we'd actually seen each other.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Since.
Yeah.
There are so many incredible things about this testimony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. All right. Okay. Wow. So how did you feel about like a church environment? Because having like, you didn't go to church as a kid. No,
never.
Me either. Okay. So you come into like Heidi Baker night is like a pretty full on experience.
Tell me about it.
Minister. So how did you feel about that? Like
for starters, I didn't know what to expect,
yep.
but I can't even tell you how ready I was for it.
Wow.
I was so open. I had been for months with my ex, I was like loving God, wanting more, wanting to go to church. So finally leaving that, I was just so ready for it. But then getting in there, like I was really timid. I was sitting there all like, you know, just by myself. I held Claire's hand and it was the first, other than like what actually happened with the violence, with that issue, it was the first time I really felt like the Holy Spirit,
wow.
like within me. I held Claire's hand and I started like bawling my eyes out and I was like crying for the rest of the service sitting here. Yeah. It was just a lot. It was overwhelming.
Okay. So I love how the Lord flows through people. I remember once there was someone who had just come to church and they came for prayer and I was just praying for them. And then I felt like the Lord wanted to give them a hug. And so I just said to him, like, I don't want to do this, but like, would it be okay if I just like give you a hug? And, I remember them saying like, it's like the first hug, like they were living by themselves and had been quite isolated. I think they said like, it's the first hug I've had for like months, like months on end. And it wasn't so much about that, but about how they experience the presence of God in that moment. I'm also really encouraged by what you say, Willow, because I think a lot of times when people are like, they have people in their lives who are interested in learning more about Jesus, sometimes they can be a little hesitant in like inviting them to church because mm-hmm. like think, oh, you know, yeah, yeah. She's like, cause like, no.
We invite everyone.
We yeah, literally. Because your testimony is so encouraging because I think we put that almost puts onus on us. Like we almost negate what the Holy Spirit is doing, like, or has been doing or has been preparing in this friend of ours or family member or like whoever it is or stranger. I remember there's a couple of people who we'd invited from street ministry, some of our students had invited in and coming from very different like backgrounds and even some that came in during conference and had never been to any church like at all. And in fact, like one I drove from a lunch and they'd never been to church before and they were expecting like, you know, a little church with a steeple. And we're like, no, this is kind of it. Like, this is what it is. And I was like, oh gosh, this is really going to be interesting. Like anyway, and all I said, kind of like, how are you finding it? And they were just, again, like in worship, were weeping in the presence of God because when you feel, I think if you've been in church a long time, sometimes we can forget. I know I have to remind myself of like, peace was not always in my life. Like peace was not, I remember some of the first times I'd sit at the back of church, I just used to love sitting in the building because it was the only place in my life where there was peace. Mm-hmm. And safety and like the love of God, like just the love of Jesus. It's not common. And that is, despite everything else that's going on, you know, the lights or the whatever, it's like, know that they're experiencing like the love of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, or whatever it is, that side of him that he wants to show them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. I feel like there's a thousand tangents that we could take with this, but I think it's so beautiful that like the beauty of the Lord, not only in how he has like wooed you to him in your lives and used every circumstance and every situation to reveal himself, and but also that he's like brought you guys together in friendship for like this season. Yeah. So good.
We honestly, as much of like the 11 years of friendship before, no, sorry.
Yeah.
How long before whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't be friends now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just too much turmoil. It was too much. Like I fully cut her off, just cut her off and along with everyone.
Yeah, like I can say it now because like I've worked through the healing with God. But like at the time, like I'd say that was definitely like a heartbreak. Like when people like break up with their partners and they say, my heart's broken. Like that was actually me.
Yeah, we can definitely have that with friends for sure. It's, like, it's a big loss.
Yeah.
Especially when it happens all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And with almost like no reason. Yeah.
Because I used to take it very personally. I was like, how could she do that to me? And like my mum has been in a situation with a partner where, oh, it was my dad. And she was trying to explain to me, like, it's not personal, this, that. But I was like, no, like,
it feels so personal.
How did she do that to me? Yeah. But God helped me see that it wasn't to me. I just happened to like cop like the excess of that.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, okay. So Holy Spirit. So what you guys obviously have this encounter with Jesus, like both have such a personal revelation of like his goodness, his love, his kindness. What does it look like for you guys to then share? Like how did you start sharing about him to people in your world? When did that happen? What did that kind of like look like?
Recently, like within the last few months.
Come on.
Yeah. When did you join street teams? That was when Willow joined, and then like the next week I was kind of like inspired and
Started
doing it
too. Yeah, I went in March or April to Flinders just one time.
Yep.
Like,
So we have, for those watching who don't know, we have a street outreach ministry that runs. So we do different street outreaches on – did you go the Friday night one?
Yeah, Friday night.
Saturday night was my first one.
Yep, okay. Yeah. So we had like Friday night and Saturday night that run and basically just have leaders that have done sort of like street ministry before and just share with people in the street led by the Holy Spirit about who to share with. Some of them have like worship and testimony associated and some of them are just like groups going out and sharing. So you joined one of these groups. What led you to do that, Willow? People like go their whole Christian lives and never do something like this. Yeah. So like what was like the prompting?
I just felt like I couldn't tell you. It was just God on my heart saying that, but I was scared and I thought it would be a future thing.
Yeah, okay.
And I reached out to a friend who was doing it already and I said, look, I want to come along with you one day, but not yet. And he's like, if you wait to have the confidence to do it, you're never going to do it.
Yes. So I was like, good on you for your obedience.
Yeah.
I went the next day and I spoke to only like one person. It was a rough conversation.
Yeah.
It was rough. He was very scientific and logical and I was not prepared for that.
Yeah.
But like I just threw myself in the deep end for God, the obedience to God and just sharing the testimony. And since then, Claire and I have done it a lot more together.
Yeah, even outside of street teams, like we'll be driving down the street and like there's someone on the footpath, we wind down the window and yell, Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Like, we do it all the time.
Or like blast music.
Yeah, the other day we were driving in the car next to someone, like keeping pace with them because their window's down and we're like talking to them about Jesus through the window.
Anything and everything to just plant a seed.
Yeah, come like, on.
Yeah.
That's so important. That's a really key point because I think I know when I started to like share about Jesus, I always was like, well, if I don't lead them like all the way to the salvation prayer, then I haven't really like done a good job. Like this was my mentality. Yeah. It's a lie, guys. It's a lie. Yeah. To know that, you know, one plants a seed, then the other one comes across and waters it, then someone else adds some other water and then someone will reap the harvest. Yeah, exactly. And we're all just part of a big plan that God has. We just do our little obedient part, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I love that you say that because I think that that's something that's like it set me free to actually be able to share that's about Jesus helps. Knowing exactly right, knowing that like I don't have to like be the one that sits. I don't know why I thought that. It's, I don't know. I did. Yeah. I was like, you know, if I'm not the one that like says the salvation prayer with them, then like it's all for nothing kind of thing. And it's not like that.
Yeah. Everything is so important. Like I always imagine someone's prayed to God, like, give me a sign that you're real.
Right.
And then we've just screamed out the window, Jesus loves you. Like,
right.
Is that not the smack in the face of a sign? Mm-hmm. Like,
yes. I don't know if I've shared here before, but I had this one time that I was in a restaurant in South Yarra and there was a girl who was like working on her computer. She had a glass of wine. It was dinner time. And I just could not, like, my eyes kept going back to her. And I was like, this is going to be so weird. Like, she's going to think that I'm like stalking her or something. I was like, oh gosh, this is so awkward. And I just couldn't, like, the Lord was like, really grappling my attention to kind of, and I was like, oh, I know I need to have a conversation. I was like, God, give me like an in, like show me an image or something I can share with her. Like, nada. God's like, you just need to be obedient. And I was like, ugh. So I was like, okay. I'm like, take a few deep breaths. Holy Spirit, come, please help. And I like took the glass of wine that I had and went over to a table and I was like, hey, like my name's Erin. I'm just having dinner over here. Like, and I don't even know how I, like, at that point, like, the Holy Spirit, he's so faithful, took over. Yeah, yeah. And I just said to her, like, oh, what are you working on? And we had chats or whatever. And I said, hey, like, I just came over because, like, this might sound really weird, but I just felt to tell you that Jesus, like, loves you. Do you know anything kind of about Jesus? And she says to me, huh. She's like, that's really funny. She's like, you're the third person in the last 2 weeks that has come to tell me that Jesus loves me. Mm-hmm. She's like, and I said, I think I was more shocked than she was. I was like, okay.
Lucky you're obedient.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm like, thank you, Holy Spirit. That is not my own, you know, personality type or anything like that. But just the conviction of like, he's so good and he so wants to know people. Like, he so desperately wants to know people and wants them to know him too. Like that. He just needs someone to introduce, like do the introduction sometimes. Anyway, I think that might be a sign. I said, I think like Jesus is wanting to talk to you and let you know that he is real and that he does love you and that he has a plan and purpose for your life. And she then shared with me, she's like, I said, have you ever like been to church at all? She's like, oh, about 7 years ago, like I used to go to Hillsong. I'm like, oh, wow. So I was like, okay, great. So she has like, I'm like, bless Hillsong. I'm like, she has some basic foundation of like Christianity and Jesus. Cause some people you talk to, they've like never heard of Jesus. Like he's only ever heard of Jesus as a swear word, like nothing, no other context. Yeah. Like, so I said, okay. And I was like, I just really invite you to like pray and ask him like what it is that he wants to share with you. And that was it. But like, yes, it was like, thank goodness for obedience. Like imagine if I'd been like, oh no, that's too awkward. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I think God's good enough and big enough to use other people, but I don't want to be like, I want to be part of his hand and his foot in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any fun testimonies to share with us about people that you have shared Jesus with?
They're one of the stuff.
do the one at the stoplight. We want to hear the one at the stoplight.
Remember when I missed the red light?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes, tell us.
Yes.
Go ahead. Was like, so always driving around here, there's the people that wash your window for some change. Like, if I have coins, I always give it to them. One time I didn't have any, so I gave the guy a Kit Kat. But there was this one, we stopped at a red light and they were there and she was like washing our, or she asked, and we didn't have any coins, but she washed our window anyway. And then she said, God bless, and walked off, and me and Willow looked at each other like,
fully put the window down.
There we go. And then we put the window down and there was this other guy that was with her and we started talking to him, like just chatting, asking him questions about himself. And then as the, I think we'd already missed the green light, but there was no cars behind us, so we didn't get honked.
Yeah.
Because we just seen it go orange and then red again. I was like, oh my gosh. But
then got another 30 seconds. Let's go.
And then Willow found coins in her purse and we gave it to them and he was like, thank you so much. And then I was like, I got a Bible from here when I like put my hand up, got saved.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my Bible anymore. I got like a new one.
Yep.
And I'd always just kept it in my car. No idea why. I just it was left in my car. And I was like, Willow, the Bible, give it to me. So then we hand it. I'm like, I don't know if you want this. Like, if you read it, do you want it? He was like, yeah, I'll take that. And like, we were just sitting there explaining to him. And then like, I hear a honk. The light's gone green again and it's gone yellow. We've missed it again.
Two times.
Yeah, I know. And then, but I'm flicking through it, like trying to explain like the basics, the very basics. So I don't miss the light again.
Yeah.
And I think at that point it went green again, didn't I? Like, I went to go, but then it went red and I was like halfway in the intersection.
Yeah, yes.
And I found the Alpha card.
Yes, in the come Bible, on.
And
yes.
I was like, Alpha, like, if you want to learn more about it and can't do it on your own, like, call this, go on this website, do that. And then the light went green. We're like, bye.
Wow.
But yeah, like,
come on.
I didn't lead him to salvation in a prayer, but, like, that's a big seed.
Big seed planted.
It is a big seed, for sure. And I love the part of that. It's like, it's just part of your everyday life following, like, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because I think sometimes, like, we think that evangelism is like, okay, I'm going to do evangelism. Like, I'm going to put a hat on and do evangelism, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just part of living our lives. Like, filled with the Holy Spirit, following his promptings. Like, you're not giving Bibles to every person, but this guy was like, okay, the Lord's on this somehow. Yeah. And just being quick and obedient to like obey him in that moment. I think that's a perfect picture of what it looks like just to be a disciple.
Yeah, I think every day, like, We do have organized times we go out to evangelize, but on the daily you should try and like mention something. Like, I can't think of any specific stories, but at work, every day I do not stop talking about like Jesus, and my colleagues and I have like friendly discussions.
Yes.
I wouldn't say debates or anything, but they're not exactly religious or believe in God, but I like just nonstop talk about it. I write Bible verses down, hang it up around the warehouse. Like, because they draw all these really silly pictures around. So I like try and get some Jesus in there. Yeah, exactly.
So good.
And just talking about it. And I think what sticks with them the most is like the representation of God and how I represent God, which does come with a lot of pressure as well. Because as soon as you like, make a tiny mistake, that's not very Christian of you, but it shows how important that representation is, and just like being a good role model of God, and that's enough to be like, oh, like, you know, something good there.
That's so wild you say that. I was just talking to a friend at breakfast this morning, and they were talking about how their son works in the secular era. I can't remember which industry he's in, but something was happening in this one person's life in their office, and he was just being like listening and being encouraging and like ministering empathy for the situation they were in. He wasn't, you know, doing anything crazy, and like, you know, it was just his character and his nature. And he said something about Jesus at the end of the conversation, and they were like, yeah, I really want to know more about this Jesus, because if this Jesus is like you, I really like you.
Mm.
And like, I want to know more about him if that's who he is.
Yeah. It's the greatest compliment ever.
Right? Totally. It is. And that is how we're meant to live our life. Like,
yeah.
I love how you say that, because I think It's so important. So many points. So like, yes, there's organized times where it's like, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to pray and we're going to share and we're going to pray for healing people. Yeah. And we're going to share about Jesus. There can be times where it's organized. Then there's just like your everyday life where you're just open to the Holy Spirit and what he's mm-hmm. doing. And then there's also the evangelism that is just like you living a Christ-like life.
Exactly.
And I want to encourage you as well, Willow, because sometimes it is also in our... There is sometimes a bit of pressure that comes with like, oh, I'm representing Christ. Like, I want to represent him well because I love him and I want people to know him. Yeah. But we also are totally human.
Yeah.
And so there's sometimes where it's like I've done something or said something being like, oh, it's so not like Jesus.
Yeah.
And I've gone back and been like, hey, I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I was frustrated and that's totally not on you. And I've just apologized.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has almost done more than if I had been perfect in that that moment. Yeah. Because they're like, oh, my gosh, but they're just human like I'm human. But also to say sorry and apologize is also not very common in our society and culture to take like the posture of humility. So I think even in our sometimes like our flaws and our humanness, we can also represent him well.
Yeah,
I agree. I've had to apologize a few times to my colleagues because I've just sworn or said a joke and then I feel really convicted. I'm like, oh, I should not have said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I agree. I think being honest in your flaws as well is even better than trying to be perfect because no one's – if they see too much of like this facade you're trying to put on, then they're going to be like, no, that's all just –
it's fake.
It's fake.
Totally.
Like show the true life of following Christ, which is up and down. Yeah. It's hard. It's harder than living in the world.
Yeah.
And if you just show that and represent that as best as you can, like it'll hit the right people.
Yeah.
And better preach than it. Being fake.
Preach it, preach it, preach it. Jesus is the most real, I think. Like you read through the Bible and I'm always captivated by like the moment where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, like about to go to the cross, about to be crucified. And like he is not in that moment. He's like, you can tell by scripture, he's agonizing and he actually like goes to the Father and says like, if there's any other way than this way, like can you do that? Mm-hmm. But if not, then let your will be done. So like in that moment, Jesus, who is God but also man, actually has like a will for something different than the will of the Father. But he kind of wrestles through that with Father God and like yields his will to the will of God. Mm-hmm. So even that, it's like, he didn't come in and be like, I'm Jesus, I got this sorted, I'm going to be crucified, like everyone's going to, you know, I'm going to change the course of history forever. He's like, no, he's real.
Mm-hmm.
He's real and he's authentic. And I think that's what genuinely people are looking for. Yeah. They're looking for like the real God, like who is genuine and who is authentic. And they're not looking for perfect people. Yeah. They're just looking for the truth that comes in trials, that comes in tough moments of life, that comes in the messy, you know, parts of life. So I think that, in the things that we feel like we do well and in the things that we feel like we don't do well, it can all represent him.
Mm.
Yeah. Guys, we could chat for literally hours.
I know.
I feel like we very much could. But we do need to wrap up. time has gone so fast. And I just want to first of all say thank you so much for coming and sharing your stories so openly and so vulnerably. And I know that both of you do that for his glory so that the glory of Jesus can be seen. And it is so, so evident that that is the case. Like you guys are trophies of grace and of glory. And I'm so excited that like it took me until I was probably in my early 30s to really find the Lord. And so I'm very excited that you guys just in your early 20s have found him. And I cannot imagine like when you're 30, what the Lord will have done in and through you for this generation. So we're just going to pray if that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I just feel to really pray for our Gen Z. That's okay. All right. So God, we just thank you for Willow and for Claire and for the incredible women that they are already. And we just thank you for a generation that they represent that loves you so much and that has found the way, the truth, and the life. And God, I pray that you would continue to use them in every area and every facet of their life. no matter whether it's work or study, driving down the street, stopping at red lights, we pray that you would continue to use them. And I pray, God, that today that their testimony would be such an encouragement and maybe even a provocation to our hearts for those who feel like maybe, you know, they don't have time or they don't have space to share about you, Lord. I just thank you that the testimony of today is that we can do that in any area of our life and any time. And yeah, we just thank you for your daughters. And I pray that they would continue to be such a light for their generation to share boldly about who you are and what you've done for them. I pray, God, for anyone who feels like perhaps they don't have the right words to say or, you know, don't know the right way to approach things. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are the helper. And when we are obedient to you, that you come and you fill our mouths with things to say, you come and help us know what to do in the moment. And so I just pray for obedience for us, that we would continue to step out on the small little promptings that even we've, like the ones we've heard about today as we've been chatting. And in those moments, in the small little prompting is like the door for the glory of God to shine, the door for Jesus to be known. So I pray, God, that you would continue to burden our hearts with those little promptings for other people. And yeah, we just want our city and our world and our nation to know you more, Lord. We love you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your Holy Spirit that is our helper. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, girls.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's been so fun. I want to do it again. So thank you guys for joining us today on this podcast. And I want to really challenge you to find one person to share Jesus with in this next 24 hours, whether you're at the stoplight, like we've heard, or whether you're at your workplace, or whether you're walking down the street, or the barista you get your coffee from. I want to challenge you to just share about Jesus. Just tell someone that Jesus loves them, who he is, and what he's done for them. And we want to hear your testimonies as well. So if you have any kind of testimony, it can even just be like, oh my gosh, I stepped out of fear and shared about Jesus for the first time. We want to hear about it. It's going to encourage us. So you can DM us on Instagram. You can jump on the website at pneuma.church/pray and you can share your testimony. Or you can share it with someone at your Sunday service, your pastor, or on the, oh yeah, we've got an app. We've got so many areas where you can share it. But we want to hear what's happening in your life as we all become a little bit more activated and a little bit more prompted to share Jesus this month. Okay, well, we will see you very soon for our next podcast. And until then, keep sharing Jesus. We want to hear about it. Bye.